Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Wow. Just in awe of how fast the time is going. We're almost through the month of September, and soon October, and the heart of fall will be upon us. Today on the broadcast, I want to take us right into Turkey, and the subject is about Iranian refugees in Turkey, what their life is like, what their everyday struggles are like, and how they have to live under difficult circumstances. The first story I want to share with you is the story of Reza and how Christ changed his life once he was in Turkey. Let's listen to his story.
Before escaping their home, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Reza was a successful civil engineer, and his wife Maryam had a good job as a translator, but something was missing in their lives.
Okay, where is God? Why we are here? And the more I asked this question, but the less I could find the answers in the religion in which I grew up.
They told me when Maryam was hired to translate a Bible tract, Reza read it and wanted to know more about God and Christianity. Soon, he was attending an underground church. When Maryam saw the changes in her husband and in their marriage, she gave her life to Christ too. They had a new relationship with God, but their lives also took a dangerous turn.
The government, the system in there, they cannot tolerate your conversion.
One day on his way to work, Reza was kidnapped by the police and interrogated for two straight days. When he was released, he took his family to Turkey to seek asylum. But because refugees can't legally work in Turkey, the former engineer has to do menial jobs and get paid under the table to make ends meet.
It's hard as a mother to tell your kids no all the time because you can't afford to buy them things. Employers barely pay us because they know we are desperate. They treat us like slaves.
This family left everything they knew behind and came to a foreign land relying on God. We wanted to help them any way we could. We started with a trip to the grocery store. After loading up at the grocery store, we had one more big surprise for them. CBN paid their rent and utility bills for 3 months. Now they'll have a chance to get ahead.
Thanks, God. Thank you so much for your help. We will never forget this. Even though we are far apart, we're not alone. In Christ, we are one big family.
That's a very special story, and thankful to CBN for reaching out to this Iranian couple and not only sharing their story with us, but showing in a practical way what Christians do for one another, and that is paying their rent for 3 months and going to the grocery store and helping them stock up. You know, Iranians are not allowed to work under government rule in Turkey, and so if they do work, it's against the law. They have to do it secretly, if you will, on the black market. And so I wanted to take some time this morning, since we're talking about Reza in Turkey, I wanted to take some time this morning and also talk to you in a very intimate, practical way about my friend Rojina. Rojina and her mom Parisa have been refugees from Iran in Turkey for now more than 8 years. And the reason they had to flee from Iran to Turkey was just like the story of Reza, because they became Christians, and then the government is hunting them down, and constantly they're putting them under surveillance. And so because of this complication, they had to leave Iran, and they had to seek refuge in Turkey. But life in Turkey is anything but easy. It's very difficult. And what I want to do this morning is I want to take some time with you for the next few minutes and share Rojina's story. I just recently wrote and posted on my Cross in the Desert blog page. Up there also is two other Iranian refugees in Turkey that I recently wrote about, and that is Afsana and Layla. This morning I want you to hear in her own words what life is like in Turkey and how Jesus has changed Rojina's life. The name of this article is Rojina, A Light in the Darkness of Turkey. It has been a very long and difficult 8 years in Turkey as a refugee. Most of the day, I am depressed, thinking about all of my friends back in Iran. I miss them so much. I cannot see them or visit them. I can't even go to school and talk with them. The memories of my childhood have nearly faded away in the chaos of my life. My teenage years have all but been forgotten. I miss the birthday parties with all of my dear friends. I miss not having my own room where I can relax and be alone. Instead of remembering the few happy times that I had growing up, all I think about every second of every day is, how will I pay the rent and my bills? There are no jobs for me here. It is like living hell on earth in isolation because of the coronavirus. Living in isolation gives me hours to think and ponder about my life. I want to share with you how this all began. I remember being miserable as an 8-year-old child in school. I was forced to read the Quran and pray. I hated wearing the black manteau. It was like a coat that you had to wear, which included the scarf or hijab that covered your hair. I hated this clothing. One day, I got so furious that I tore off this silly clothing and left school. My teacher chased after me, shouting, "Don't do that! You are behaving like a sinner." Life at home was not any easier for me. My mother, Parisa, was miserable. She had no peace. She felt lost inside. Her parents had pressured her into reading the Quran, and she felt no joy in doing this. My mom had the difficult task of being a single parent after divorcing my father. We were both searching for meaning and purpose in our lives. One day, our neighbor Roya visited us. She could see the misery and despair in my mother's eyes. Roya was a Christian, but because of fearing the government, she was careful not to intrude too much into our lives. She knew we were Muslims, but she decided to reach out anyway to us. Roya recommended that we watch Mohabbat TV. Mohabbat TV was a Christian channel beamed into Iran on the satellite. It featured programs about the Bible and Jesus. She also gave my mom a Persian New Testament and asked her to read it. She agreed. One night, my mom had an incredible dream. In her dream, she was visited by Jesus. He burned a symbol of the cross on her arm and said, "This is going to be painful. Being a Christian will not be easy." Parisa woke up frightened. Beads of sweat were rolling down her cheeks. When she gazed at her left arm, she panicked. There was a burn spot on the arm, just like she saw in the dream. She immediately showed her arm to Roya, and Roya took a picture of it. She sent it to her pastor. A few days later, the pastor visited our home and prayed for my mom. That was the day that she accepted Christ as her Savior and became a Christian. I immediately recognized the dramatic change in my mother's life. She was no longer angry. As a Muslim, she was always angry and never happy. But now she was calm. Her change in behavior was like heaven for me. The pastor gave me a children's Bible and instructed me to read the story of Jesus. I remember how different Jesus was compared to Muhammad. Jesus was kind and compassionate. As a Muslim, all I ever remembered was anger and violence. I never knew what true love was. One story in the Gospels made a big impact on my life. The night before his crucifixion, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter becomes angry and cuts off the ear of Malchus, one of the servants of the high priest. However, Jesus rebuked him and instead healed the servant's ear. I was so impressed by the kindness that Jesus showed his enemies. This story touched my heart and changed my life. At the age of 8 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart and also became a Christian. After becoming a Christian, one of the first things I wanted to do was to share how Jesus changed my life with my friends at school. However, my mother warned me, don't do that. For a Muslim to change their religion in Iran is very serious. They can be imprisoned or put to death. I was so excited about my newfound faith, and I just wanted to tell everyone. And as soon as I got home from school, I turned on the Christian music. I played it loud. It filled my heart and mind with so much joy. One of my favorite hobbies is painting. I would make paintings of the cross and decorate the walls of my room with them. For the first time in my life, I was really happy. However, happiness ended whenever I entered through the doors of the school. I was so frustrated that I could not share my faith with my friends. I had to pretend that I still liked Islam and wear that stupid hijab. One day I told my teacher I couldn't take it anymore. I explained to her that I was now reading the Bible. The teacher was astonished and immediately contacted my mom. She warned her that I must change my behavior or else be expelled from school. My mother took me aside and gently persuaded me to be patient, to obey my teacher. I reluctantly agreed. I was a straight-A student at school. I excelled in all of my studies. But the day the teacher found out that I was reading the Bible, well, she began lowering all of my grades from A down to C. The living waters of happiness that I had found in Jesus was slowly drying up from all of the persecution at school. I will never forget one of the darkest times of my life. When I was just 11 years old, I was sexually abused. My uncle had a friend who was a math teacher. He would often come over to our home. He knew I was struggling in school, so he offered to help me with math, and my mother agreed. He was a Muslim, and he knew that we were Christians, but it didn't seem to offend or disturb him. Whenever my mom left me alone at home, this Muslim man would instruct me in my studies. However, for a solid year, he did more than tutor me in math. He began touching me, putting his hands all over my body. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. He would stare intently into my eyes and warn me, "If you tell your mother, I will report both you and your mother to the government." All I knew how to do was to pray and cry out to Jesus. And Jesus answered my prayer. We loved meeting with other Christians in our home. We were part of a house church movement meeting secretly for fear of the government. We played our music loud in celebration and raised our voices loudly in prayer at these meetings. One day, the police came to our house while we were on vacation. Fortunately, we were not there. When we returned home, our pastor told us that we must immediately leave and go to Turkey. We were in danger of being arrested. Instead of going to Turkey, my mom took us to a small town named Mayanodab, where we hid out from the government for about a year and a half. It was then that I realized that Jesus had answered my prayer. He had allowed the police to come to our house, so we had to move. When we moved, the sexual abuse ended. It was the last time I would ever see that Muslim man. I was finally safe and protected. The nightmare had ended. In 2013, we finally moved to Turkey after an undercover agent came to our house looking for my mother. We sold everything that we had and left our homeland. It is so sad to say goodbye to the people that you love just to find freedom. We lived for 2 months in Istanbul with my mother's friend Afsana. As refugees, we were prohibited from getting jobs, so my mother secretly opened up a bakery at home and began selling delicious pastries to all of the Iranian tourists. We desperately needed a place to live, and one of my mother's friends connected us with an Iranian man. The Iranian man agreed to help us find a place. This was one of the worst mistakes that we ever made. This Iranian man became controlling and abusive. He demanded money from us for the rent, the groceries, the bills. It was like living right back in Iran. Then one day, he tried to sexually abuse me. Horrible memories of abuse flooded my mind from when I lived back in Iran. He tried to kiss me, but I resisted. He even tried to sexually abuse my mom. So we quickly packed up our few belongings that we had, and we got out of there. We left. A year after living in Turkey, my mother received her first interview with the UNHCR in Ankara. Her interviewer was a Muslim woman. For 5 or 6 hours, my mother explained why she became a Christian. She shared with her the incredible gene and how Jesus changed her life. Unfortunately, she was rejected. The interviewer, well, she didn't believe her story. We found out later that unless we had documents about being baptized, that the immigration board would continue to reject us. Living in Turkey as refugees was extremely difficult. Struggling to provide money for rent and food and waiting forever to be interviewed took a toll on us emotionally. It was during this time that I spent most of the day praying and gazing at the beautiful gold cross that I proudly wore around my neck. I was comforted whenever I gazed upon the cross. However, wearing my cross necklace in public brought much conflict and persecution to me. I was harassed by many young Muslims, but I refused to hide or cover up my necklace. I loved Jesus. I was unashamed to wear it. I told every person that I met that, quote, this is who I am. I am a Christian. I love Jesus. One day, while at the shopping market, the owner saw the cross around my neck and threw me out of his store. He scolded me and said, you are a sinner. You need to return to Islam. You are going to hell. I was never afraid to share my faith in Jesus. I would always look at my cross and proclaim, Jesus is with me all of the time. I have no fear. This personal declaration of faith that Jesus was always with me proved to be an incredible reality that one day saved my life. In 2018, I was finally offered a job in a hotel working as a translator, selling sweets to customers. I had waited for hours to just speak with the manager. It was almost 2 o'clock in the morning. I had no way home, and there were no taxis. Finally, the manager appeared and offered to drive me home. I sat in the back seat. I remembered feeling very nervous. Something didn't feel right. Something was wrong. A few minutes later, he pulled the car over and asked me to sit in the front seat next to him. I said no, feeling uneasy and afraid. Are you scared? He asked me. A few minutes passed by, and he forced me into the front seat next to him. I was terrified. My mind was filled with the horrible memories of being sexually molested years ago in Iran. Are you a Christian? He asked me. Don't you ever have sex? My whole body was trembling. I grabbed my cell phone but couldn't get a signal to call my mom. No, I don't have sex, I replied, my voice trembling. That's a sin before marriage. I looked down at my necklace and nervously began praying, mumbling the words, crying out for Jesus to save me. He began to put his hand on my legs when suddenly his cell phone rang. It was his wife. She demanded to know where he was. His wife became my angel. He finally drove me home and said he would see me again the next day, but I never went back. Well, this is my story so far. I turned 22 this year. It's been another long day in the city of Yalova, Turkey. Another long day in isolation, but as I think back to when I was just 8 years old and remember the day that Jesus came into my life, I am no longer depressed. Deep down in my soul, I am grateful. I have joy. I know that Jesus is always with me. He will never leave or forsake me. He has a special purpose for my life. I am holding on to my faith in Jesus. I can honestly confess to you that if it wasn't the fact that I was a Christian, I would have ended my life a long time ago. But thank God I didn't. In the midst of turmoil, I have peace. I have peace because I know God has a purpose and plan for my life. He has made me a light in the darkness of Turkey. What a beautiful story. Thank you so much, Regina, for sharing this with me and allowing me to publish this to give people a testimony of who you really are. This is a special song for Regina. It's called Beautiful Offerings.
Beautiful offering, all I am laid out.
an incredible worship song from Big Daddy Weave, beautiful offerings, and there's so much truth in that song. And when I think of this song, I think of my friend Rogina. She has offered up her broken, difficult life to Jesus as a beautiful offering, and Jesus has transformed her, made her and her mother both a light in Turkey. And when you think about her boldness to be unashamed to wear the cross of Christ around her neck when she goes out publicly, knowing it can be a source of persecution, she still boldly proclaims Christ, not just with wearing the cross, but with her life. And all of us as Christians living in the West can learn so much from Regina, because life is difficult for her there in Turkey. And yet she says to her enemies, "I love you. I forgive you." She says to those who persecute you and persecute her, "This is who I am. I am a Christian. I love Jesus." Can we say the same? Do our lives have that light in the darkness like Regina? Well, like the song Beautiful Offering, let us offer up our lives every day to Jesus, and let that be an offering to him to work through our hurts and our weaknesses and our pains for his glory, because really, that's what it's all about. And so, now that you've heard Rogina's story, please share this broadcast on your Facebook pages. Please share her story. It's on my Crossing in the Desert website. It's on my page. Put it on your page and share it with your friends. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. You have yourselves a fantastic weekend.